looking at a number of chapters because we're going to be looking at the inheritance of the nation of Israel when they come into the land. And as we look at this, the songs that we've sung this morning, Lead on, O King Eternal, Higher Ground, Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Jesus, Savior, Pilot me. This is what the nation of Israel needed when they came into the land, was God to be the one that would walk before them. And it's what every one of us needs in our life, is for the Lord to walk before us, because we walk on treacherous ground. As we've been studying through the book of Joshua, we realize that the nation of Israel, as they've come into the land of Canaan and they've fought their battles, the Lord has gone before them. He has given some victories where they did not even have to lift the sword for portions of the victory throughout their walk with Him. Other places, they were strongly involved with the fighting that went on. But we see that no matter what the circumstance or case, the Lord went before them. But we also know from the text that we've been looking at, and also in those of you who are here on Wednesday nights as we've been going through the book of Exodus, where we've been looking at the nation of Israel as they came out of the land of Egypt, that it has not been easy for Israel in their walk as they came into this land. Just as it is not easy for you and I to walk in a world that is against God, in a world that desires to see those that love the Lord silenced because they hate the one who is the author of this book and the Redeemer of our souls. This morning I want us to look at Joshua and the book of Joshua, and we're going to begin by looking at Joshua chapter 18. Last time we looked at chapter 17, and the where we were talking about the inheritance, and those of you who were here on Wednesday, or rather Sunday afternoon, we talked about Caleb and his inheritance. Let's begin at verse 18. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh to set up their tabernacle, the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. Now, we're going to go back. I wanted you to see that they're setting up in Shiloh in chapter 18. But if you go back to chapter 15 and 14, you see and beginning at where we started last week at chapter 13, that it says in chapter 13, Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and Geshuri and Sihor, which is before Egypt, even the boundaries of Ekron northward, and in the countries of the Canaanite, five lords from the Philistines, the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, and Eshkalathites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Merah, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, and the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal Gad under the Mount Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon and from Misrephoth Maim, and all the Sidonians, them shall I drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for their inheritance, as I have commanded thee. So we see that Joshua, in his old age, is commanded not to be the one that's going to lead them, but to as we see, started to see last week, and we're going to be studying this Sunday, he's going to divide the parcels between the tribes that the individual tribes may drive out those that are left in the land. And we saw from the text that we just read, there's a lot of people that were left in the land at this time. Before we begin our study this morning, let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that the lots that are going to be laid out by you for the children of Israel in the land of the Canaanites was not by chance, but it was prophetically spoken years before, and then you delivered upon your word. Lord, help us to see that your word is true, and that when you speak through those in your word prophetically, that it will happen. Lord, now as we come to look at your word this morning, may we be encouraged by it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to go back, and there's three basic divisions of the land, three places where the land is divided. The first wasn't done by Joshua. The first was done when Moses was still leading the nation of Israel on the east side of the Jordan River. And you remember that it was Moses, and under Moses' leadership back in Numbers and Exodus, that the land was divided and given to 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River. It was given to Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And I had hoped that I had a map on all the maps that I had of Israel that showed the division of the land, but I did not have a map of that. And like I said last Sunday, I'm not very techie savvy, and my helper, Tom, is not here, so I couldn't get a new map to put on there. But it would have been good to, so you could actually see where each portion of the land was. Moses had been used by God to proclaim that they could stay there. And remember, they had to come back with the rest of the nation of Israel across the Jordan to fight when they first came in. They did that. We saw the battles. They came in at Jericho, Ai. They went up the mountains. Then they did the southern kings and took out the majority of the strongholds in the south. Then they went to the north did that. And then it's at this time that Joshua is coming and telling all the places that are left. Now, the land is going to be divided on the east side of the Jordan. The first place that Joshua does this is not in Shiloh, where we read earlier, but rather it is in Gilgal, where they've had their main camp. And it's here that he meets with all the children of Israel, and he begins to divide the land. And he's going to divide it and give two tribes their land while they are at Gilgal, and then the rest of the tribes will be given their land when they get to Shiloh. The first that he gives is to the tribe of Judah. Now, it's interesting that the tribe of Judah is really the tribe that has become the tribe that has taken the leadership in the nation of Israel. Even though Joshua is from the tribe of Ephraim, Moses was from the tribe of Levi, yet we see Judah is the one that was prophetically spoken of by Jacob as to be the one through whom the scepter would come. Now, if you would turn back with me, keep your finger on chapter 14 of Joshua, but turn back with me to Genesis chapter 49. To Genesis chapter 49. This event had happened sometime before the nation of Israel came into the land. And it's not that Joshua went and looked up what Jacob's prophecies were, and then he sat down and said, okay, that's how I'm going to divide up the land. That's not what happened. Instead, the Lord is the one that told Joshua which tribes were to be given which portions of land, and they did it by casting lots before the Lord, and the Lord directed them to put the land. Well, I want you to take a look here in chapter 49. For those of you who were here when we studied Genesis, you remember that Jacob called all of his sons together and he spoke blessings over them, but they were really prophecies. They were really prophecies because they were telling what would happen with these sons. I want you to look at verse 8 to start with. Verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom the brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall all bow down before thee. Now, just pause there. He's saying that all the children of Jacob would bow down before Judah. Well, why would that be? Because Judah was going to be given the scepter. He was going to be given the leadership of the nation of Israel. Up until they came into the land, Moses had been the leader when they came out of Egypt. And if you would, and in Numbers 21, verse 18, it speaks of Moses as the lawgiver and that he had the staff or the scepter. But this was going to be transferred from Moses to the tribe of Judah. Moses was of the tribe of Levi, but the Levites would not be the ones that would be carrying the scepter. Continuing on in Genesis chapter 49, verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of the people be. This is the prophecy that was given dealing with Judah being the one who would be the leader. Now, it also talks about the fact that Shiloh was coming, and who is Shiloh? There it's speaking of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, when he would come. Now, there's an interesting thing that happened when the tribe of Judah came into the land. It's out of the tribe of Judah that the kings came. Initially, we know that the first king of Israel was not of the tribe of Judah. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and that was Saul. But it was that Saul was not God's choice, that was the people's choice. God chose David out of the tribe of Judah. And David had a descendant sitting on the throne of Judah throughout until the southern kingdom was taken into captivity. And then David's descendants, we went over that a little bit a week ago or so, where we talked about the various, on Wednesday night, where we talked about the various kings and those that were godly kings and those that were not. But there was an interesting event that occurred when Ezekiel was the prophet. Again, if you want to hold, getting your all kinds of fingers in your Bible this morning, but if you want to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 21, and Ezekiel makes a prophecy dealing with those that are going to be leading the nation of Israel, the descendants of David and Solomon. Ezekiel chapter 21, verses 25 through 27. And it says, "And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end, thus shall the Lord God remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high." So it says here that there's some events that are going to occur that are going to cause God to remove the descendants from Solomon from being kings in Israel. And we know that those events began to happen when they were taken away in the Babylonian captivity. And we saw that the reason was because of the wickedness of the kings and their unwillingness to follow God and do what God said. But then Ezekiel doesn't stop there. He says, "Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown, and thou shalt not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high, and I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him." Now, those of you who were here on Wednesday, you remember that it was shortly after that the time that they came back into the land, they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden you had the invasion of various countries. And at the time of the Maccabean revolt, which where Epiphanes came to power and desecrated the temple and tried to stamp out Jewish religion, that the Maccabees came to power, and they were the ones that their descendants took kingship of Israel, and they weren't of the proper line to be the kings or the high priests. And then we also know that later on, during the time that Jesus lived, that Herod was king, who wasn't even a Jew. And he couldn't even be out of the line of David or Solomon. Instead, he had been appointed by the Roman government. And it was an appointed or purchased kingship that Herod possessed. When Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, there was interesting things that were said. They referred to him as the king. When he first called his disciples, and you'll find in John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathan referred to Jesus, and he said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, and thou art the King of Israel." That was an interesting statement that Nathanael made. Why? Because he was calling the fact that Christ was deity. He was God. And he was also the King of Israel. What he was saying is what Ezekiel had spoken prophetically was being lived or seen when Jesus came. But we know that the nation of Israel didn't receive him at that time. So what is the final thing that Jacob's prophecy about the tribe of Judah when Shiloh comes? When will Jesus come? Because we know that he didn't establish his kingdom on earth. As a matter of fact, when he stood before Pilate, Pilate asked him if he was a king, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he referred to the fact that he didn't have a kingdom in this world at that time. So when is Shiloh coming? Well, the book of Revelation reveals that to us in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. It refers to Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that he will come back to earth and establish his kingdom, and that he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords eternally. And he will have a kingdom on earth. And that, as Jacob has said, the scepter shall never be removed from the tribe of Judah when Shiloh comes. Why? Because he is the eternal king. And yet he was, as in his humanity, a descendant of Judah, of David. And he came out of the tribe of Judah. He came to the house of David and ascended to the throne of David, where he, as Shiloh, shall never be removed. Well, in having that said about Judah, go back and see that the land that Judah is given is just about the biggest portion of land of any of the tribes. If you took the tribe of Joseph and would take Ephraim and Manasseh, are the two sons of Joseph, if you would look at their square miles of land, it would be close to the tribe of Judah. But if we had a map of the land, what is referred to as Judah in Israel today, that there is so much problems with, and that they say should be given back to the Arabs, it is not to be given back to the Arabs. This is given to Judah, and it's southern Israel. It goes from the Egyptian border all the way up to Jerusalem, and just about, and from the Philistines were, over to the Jordanian border or the Dead Sea. That is Judah, and this was given to Judah by the Lord. And we see that the tribe of Judah asked for their inheritance after Caleb had asked for his. and that they wanted to inherit their land. And if you turn with me to chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest," and this was Caleb on behalf of himself and then also of Judah. So it wasn't just Caleb that came, but it was also the whole tribe of Judah. We studied those verses last week and saw the inheritance of Judah. And then in chapter 15, Joshua deals with the whole tribe. "This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin southward, was the uttermost part of the south coast, and their south border was from the shore of the Salt Sea, that is the Dead Sea, from the bay that looketh southward. And it went out to the south side of Mela Akabim, and passed along to Zim, and ascended up to the south side unto Kadesh Barnea, and passed along to Hezbron, and went up to Adar, and fetched a compass at Karkah. From thence it passed word to Asmon, and went into and unto the river of Egypt," and that wouldn't be the Nile, that is the river that is, it's about halfway down the Sinai Peninsula. It's a wadi. And then it passed toward Asmon and went out onto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of that coast were at the sea, and this shall be your south coast. And your east border was the Salt Sea, even to the end of Jordan and the Jordan River, and their border is the north quarter from the bay of the sea to the uttermost part of the Jordan. And the border went up to Beth Hogia, and passed along the north to Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan and the son of Reuben. And the border went up toward Debir, whom from the valley of Achor, and so northward looking toward Gilgal, that is before the going up to Adumim, which is on the south side of the river, and the border passed toward the waters of Enshesheth, and the goings out thereof were at Enrogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom onto the south side of the Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is the end of the valley of the giants northward. And then he continues on to go west from there. But you see that it goes all the way from the south, all the way up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Mount Moriah is in Judah's inheritance. And that is where the Lord will establish eventually the temple, and it'll establish the rule of David, and the king shall rule from Jerusalem as part of the tribe of Judah. There's one other tribe, if you go back to continue on in Joshua. And the second one that he deals with is Ephraim at Gilgal. And it's interesting, Judah was not the eldest of the sons of Jacob. Remember, there were three older, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. And remember that Reuben did not inherit the right of being the eldest child and receiving the blessing and the double portion and all of that, because when he was a young man, he had relationships with Bilda, Jacob's concubine. And for that, he lost it. And remember the prophecy dealing with Reuben was that he would he really would never accomplish a lot. There was never a prophet that came out of the house of Reuben. And You never really read about the Reubenites a lot other than the land that they inherit. The other two sons that were older than Judah were Levi and Simeon. Simeon and then Levi. Because of what they did to the prince Shechem, when he desired, first he had sexual relationships with their sister Diana against her will, and then he wanted to marry her, and they arranged to, through a lie, to weaken the whole tribe of that city, or all the men of that city, and then they murdered them all. And Jacob separated himself from their act. He didn't want anything to do with it, and he said, and when he came to them, that both of them would not have their own inheritance in the land. And neither one of them did. And we're going to see that later on. Simeon never inherited land. He inherited land in another inheritance. And Levi didn't inherit any land. But there was an act that occurred during the time of Moses when Aaron built the golden calf and the people were worshiping the golden calf and the war was going on at that point. Moses said, who will stand for the Lord? And all the men of Levi came forward and stood for the Lord and stopped what was happening at the golden calf and prevented God's hand of judgment coming against Israel. Because of their faithfulness at that moment, they received a special place in that they became the priests and the spiritual leaders of Israel. And we're going to be seeing later on that they're going to be given cities instead of land. But they do also lead at the worship of the Lord. And it's out of the tribe of Levi that the high priest would come, out of the family of Aaron. And it's also out of the tribe of Levi that the other priests would come, and it would be the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel. So God did stay true to his word, but he also blessed them and they brought them close to worship and to be part of the worship of, and lead the nation in worship. The oldest son of Rachel was Joseph. And as I mentioned, Joseph had two sons. And if you go back and look at chapter 48 of Genesis, and we don't have time to do that this morning, so we won't do it, but I encourage you to do it. It's the time where Jacob comes and blesses Joseph's two sons. Manasseh was the older of Joseph's sons, Ephraim the younger. When Joseph presented the sons, you remember he presented them, I would be Joseph looking at his father. This is my right hand, this is my left hand. My father's right hand would be over here. So what Joseph did is he brought Manasseh on his left, his father's right, and placed it before him. He brought Ephraim on his Joseph's right, his father's left, and placed him before him. So he had his two sons. The Manasseh on Joseph's right hand, or Jacob's right hand, and Ephraim on Jacob's left hand. The right hand would receive the greater blessing, the elder. Jacob crossed his hands, and he placed his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh. Joseph was upset. He thought, well, my father's blind. He can't see. He's gotten confused. I'll just help him. And he says, your right hand is on my younger son. It needs to be on Manasseh. He's my older son. He says, no, the younger shall be greater than the older. And so we see that when it comes time to, and they come into the land, Ephraim gets his portion before Manasseh gets his full portion because of the blessing that was done by Jacob way back and really predicting what would happen in these two boys' lives. Out of Ephraim came more prophets than out of Manasseh. And Ephraim was always the one that was the leader when the kingdom split. It was the Ephraimites that were oftentimes in positions that were giving direction and leadership as far as the tribes went. Ephraim was a greater tribe, even though the landmass they had was less than Manasseh, because Manasseh had two inheritances, one on the east side and one on the west side. So we see that the next one that receives is the lot of the children of Joseph fell from the Jordan by Jericho onto the water of Jericho to the east. And you can read through there and get a Bible map, and it'll show you exactly what their inheritance was. So he gives Manasseh. Manasseh would have been kind of right north of Judah, but there's going to be a space left between, and this is going to be coming to another tribe. Ephraim.